Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Fly Girl Show. This is Casey Grant, and I am the host of the Fly Girl Show, and we are coming from sunny, beautiful Chicago, and I hope wherever you are listening from that you're having a wonderful day. So as you know, I always try to bring topics of interest, topics for you to enrich your life or to add different dimensions to your life. And I think that this is one of the times that we could sit back and try to, we've cleaned our closet, we've cleaned out the drawers, we've organized our house. Now it's time to organize your life a little bit. So at this point, I am going to introduce my friend and also someone that I think that you will find interesting and will walk away with some wonderful pointers today. And I am going to be introducing to you Janice McCarter, and she is a financial advisor. So I hope that you will stay tuned, and if you feel comfortable, call in, ask a question, or make a comment. We'd love to hear from you. But at this hour is going to be all about things that you need to know to organize your life or to get on the right track and headed for retirement, because retirement is not fun if you have not made to find those final plans and being able to sit back and relax and enjoy it. So with that, I would like to bring in my guest, and hopefully that you will stay tuned. Take notes. Get your pencil and paper. Hello, Janice. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. And thank you so much for allowing me to share with your audience. You're doing such a fantastic job. Wish I had thought of this. Great to talk to you.
Well, you know what the thing of it is I may have thought of it, but how wonderful it is to be able to bring in people, my friend. My base of friends is so diverse that whenever I think of a topic, I'm like, who do I know? And I can usually go to my little sources here and bring in personal friends because, as we know, and for the audience, Janice was also a flight attendant. We worked together for many years. And so we have that connection of traveling all over the world and doing diverse things. And when she's come up with something that she thinks is interesting for me, she'll tell me, and we kind of just done some fun things over the years together. But now this is something I have to leave it all to Janice. So, Janice, give my audience a little info about you, how you got into it, and some of the rewarding benefits, I would say, because of this new venture in your life.
Right. So, Casey, as you know, I've been in the airline industry for over 33 years, I think. I started in 1972. I was in school in Pan American Airways waited for me to graduate, and so thus began my career with the golden handcuffs. So I thought I'd go back. I was enrolled in law school, and I thought, I'll finish that another time. But I got so enamored with traveling.
Yes.
That, and then Pan Am kind of began winding down, and Delta took over their routes. So they took a few of us, and I was really grateful for that. And so I continued flying with Delta till I think it was 2005. I've forgotten, it's so long ago, that I retired.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. And so from that then, you did take a little time off, I'm sure, to just kind of relax and realize that we didn't have to get up and that old 200 or whatever we used to say, dark 100, that's what we used to say at the crack of dawn, to get on the airplane and travel to some exotic place. But, you know, I just want to kind of get back to one of your statements that you made. I did not know that you were in law school. That's, really adventurous. But we all thought that we would only fly for a little while. And 30-something years later, here we are.
That is so true. And it just flew by. And to tell you the truth, after I retired, I did do some, you know, traveling that I always wanted to do. I went to China and so forth like that. I kind of regret leaving when Northwestern merged with Delta, because I've always enjoyed the Orient and I love to shop. So,
yes, we do love that.
That's my only regret.
Well, but the only thing is, as we know, you don't have to work your way across the water. You can sit there and enjoy the first-class service if we're lucky enough, to, of course, to get in first class. But that's one of the privileges we get, is to fly free for the rest of our lives.
That's true, but somehow or another, you never psych yourself up to go that far on your own. At least I have, but it's a thought process, to tell you the truth.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we're dealing with so.
Yeah,
it does take a lot. And with that, you know, that's part of kind of getting us into this, because there's so many people now retiring, and with the world and the economy being put to the challenge of us surviving, and the airline industry is such a, it's been hard hit. Hopefully there's going to be a lot of flight attendants that will be listening, because that was one of the things that you and I both were so interested in getting this interview going, is because flight attendants are, or crew members, I won't just say flight attendants, but airline employees, are some are being forced to retire early, some are going to welcome this retirement, but one of the things that with early retirements, we did not plan. And I bet you've learned a lot and wish you had known some of these things before you retired. So speak to the audience as if you're speaking to one of those people that I just kind of mentioned. If you are forced in the position to retire early and maybe had not planned, what are some of the things that maybe we can do to kind of catch up or invest our money? Because you're a financial advisor on, are you on retirement? Tell me your range of what you are doing.
Right. So we work with all financial products, as you might think of. However, I consider myself, and it's odd, a retirement specialist. But, of course, I you took the words right out of my mouth. I wish I had known then when I retired what I know now. So
yeah.
I'm sort of passionate about sharing that with people. I just want to say that I've had a very diverse background. So I did get my master's in business and MBA in finance, but I used it for other entrepreneurial things. I was a real estate agent, property manager, mortgage broker. I even had a small restaurant, of which I wish I had written a book. I mean, that was a trip.
Oh, my.
So,
oh.
Yeah, it was really an education in people, actually. Then
okay.
I purchased a national known tutoring agency, tutoring company, so to speak, and that was a real education. And I'm sharing all this because of the diverse background. I've worked with a lot of different people, amazing group of tutors, and just, you know, from the top to the bottom, which I consider the restaurant, I've just worked with an entire range of people. And
okay.
So to get to your point about retiring, and I know, I think 4,000 people retired or took the early out or whatever they did at Delta. And
yeah.
They were able to save jobs. So it's very important to, like, kind of take your head out of the sand, so to speak, if you haven't done retirement planning before. So just a little brief education. We have three phases of our life in terms of earning income. So the first phase is the accumulation phase. While we're working, we're, you know, earning, we're putting it maybe in a 401k or IRA or something like that. And most of us tend to take a little risk with that money because we think that, A, we're earning money, we can always replace it if there's a loss. I took a tremendous hit in 2008 when the market went down. And had I known now, I would have held. I would have held, and I'd be, you know, in a really good place. I think it tripled, you know, some of the stocks I had were really good. But I panicked. So, you know, you take risks early, but then you don't think about what's going down the pipe. Then there's the preservation phase, and that's the phase that's important, because between the ages of 60 and 70, we should be thinking about transitioning out of some of those riskier investments that we've made. Because, but to tell you the truth, we want to think about our income for life, you know, that we have money, not just maybe a pension or a Social Security, but something that will keep our lifestyle as we used to it. So that's an important phase. We want to start thinking about that. We call it the red zone in the industry. It's like 5 years before your retirement and 5 years after. So around 65 years of age, we'd like for you to be thinking about going into the distribution phase. How is your money going to be distributed to you? And isn't that enough for you to have income for life? So if you, let's say you have $350,000 in your 401k, if you divide that, let's say, by 10 years, $35,000 a year, let's say, if you were pulling it out like that, you also are facing taxes when you pull it out. So is that enough money, adding in your Social Security and your pension, for you to live a comfortable lifestyle as you have been living before? Okay. So what I discovered is that only 30% of the world's population has financial literacy. There's a lot of things that we don't understand about finance, about the market, about keeping our finances in check. So what I'd like to do is offer retirees a guaranteed solution. So this guaranteed solution is set up so that you never run out of money for life. We'd like for you to avoid the market volatility, avoid higher taxes, because, of course, you know, when you come out of a 401k or IRA, you are going to pay ordinary taxes on your income. It's considered income. And we want to also have, you know, things happen in life. I think Casey and I were talking about this, where you have unexpected crises, such as a medical illness that may, you know, set you down, so to speak. There are many chronic illnesses that prevents you from doing additional things. And so some of you, I want to leave a legacy to your heirs, you know, leave money for it. And we want that money to be safe.
Right. But let me interject something real quick, if I may. I want to take you back to, you gave us the different phases and the category, the names of these different. Give me, or give the audience, an idea, because things have changed from when we worked for a company. Number one, let me say this. People go to college now, and these kids don't end up in the job that they get their degree in. You and I did various things because we had the opportunity. We were with a major airline where you had the 401 and different things that were afforded that we, I always want to say, I did smart things, didn't realize how smart they were until now, later on in life. I go, ooh, that was really good. But let's take a scenario here. Some of these young adults are working jobs that don't have a 401. They don't have maybe medical or different means to an end that we were blessed to be able to say we do have a pension, we do have Social Security. What is a good age for people? What's ideal age? I won't say good. What is the ideal age that you should really start saving? And is there a formula about what the percentage should be? And even though you have just said there's some things that you invest in that is more of a risk than others, if someone comes into you at the age of 22, let me just kind of help you form the picture a little better. Someone that's age of 22, and let's say they're working for Amazon. Now, I don't know the ins and outs of Amazon. They may have a wonderful retirement. But what would be some of the advice that you may give to a 22-year-old?
That is an excellent question. And what we would like for them to do is to begin to look at, for instance, products that will help them to save, because it would be accumulating cash and thinking about having, I mean, some of these products, if you hold them over time, I mean, but you'll have millions when you get ready to retire. God, I wish I had known that.
And, yes.
And, yes, and when you start early, your payment schedule is lower because you're younger, you're in health, and so forth. And then as you continue, you can actually see the cash accumulation. It's phenomenal. You know, and but it's hard to talk to young people about that because they don't, you know, I'll live forever, nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
That type
yeah.
of feeling. So,
yeah.
But I wish, I mean, I'm trying to talk to my relatives and other people. Start now. And what is the percentage? Really, the percentage is what you can bear. We always try and work with the client's budget. We don't want you to, you know, not be able to continue. We want you to be comfortable.
Okay, and with that, I'm going to leap from the 22. And so we're going to be across the board, everyone, so, you know, just follow with us. But I'm so excited about this topic. So let me now jump from 22 to a person that you said there was a category for someone from 60 to 70. I retired early, so I'm just going to throw in a little personal ingredient in this question. I retired early. So where I had wanted to be, I had not gotten there because – like a lot of companies, they offer you a buyout plan, and sometimes you think you better take what you know than sit around and wait for something that you don't know. And the airline was going through a turbulent time. Now, so I didn't retire where I wanted to be or where I had projected it to be. So how do you do, or how would you address, or is there something else a person can do from 60s to their 70s if they retired early? Let's say they retired early. What are some of the things that you might offer as a solution for extra money? Because they really, if they're on a fixed income, you don't have a lot of money to play with.
That's absolutely true. Once again, go back to the scenario of what a person is comfortable with. So 60 is the time you would really be looking at transitioning out of whatever else you are. Let's say in your case, I'm sure there was, you know, the airline had 401k and a small pension at that time. So you would be looking at what's in your 401k and be transitioning to a guaranteed program that would, you know, secure your some income for life so that you never run out of money. So we don't want to just function, if you will, on Social Security and whatever pension that the airlines offered at that time. They keep changing it, and now, you know, some places have no pension whatsoever. So I'm really out there working with people that been working for a while that have no assets, no other vehicles for income other than Social Security. And we all know that with inflation and so forth, that it will be very hard to live a comfortable lifestyle on just Social Security. Did that answer your question?
Well, it does. It does. And I, while you were talking, I was saying, you know, for any the audience that's listening, let's not paint this with a broad brush of it's the Temple of Doom. If you didn't, there's still of other things that hopefully that can help you to have. And you used the word that I did like. Oh, what was the word? It was like existing, but I can't remember what you said just that quick. But it's also functioning off of what you have, and you do want to create a certain lifestyle and maintain it. And that was one of the things that I learned young and making money and have money here, money there. I didn't understand those terms that you just have been saying over and over, outlive your money. Because you are young and you don't ever think that's going to happen. And I'll add a little humor to what I'm saying. It's just like when you're skinny, you never think you're going to be fat. You just can't even fathom being fat, right?
So, I still got those clothes from the 70s.
I still have those.
One day.
But didn't you get the memo that they shrink when they're in your closet? It's not that you can't wear them, but they're shrinking? You didn't get that memo, huh?
I didn't get that memo.
So I just think that, you know, we listen to and you sit up and you know, we need to be advised. And I think this is a wonderful thing. But I would say to those and from what you've said, you don't know what you don't know. And so, therefore, make an appointment with an advisor just so you can take your notes to give yourself an idea of what you possibly could do with what you have, because you just don't have an idea.
That is, you know, you hit the nail on the head. And so many advisors, I'm going to tell my own little story in a minute, but
okay.
So many advisors may not have your interest in mind. So many of them, and I'm being pejorative here, commission are about their bottom line, and they will take your money and, you know, tell you they're doing the best, but then they, if it's not really large, they're not looking back at you to see how best to advise you.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened to me. I put my money, my 401k, I think at the time, with an advisor that a friend recommended and so forth. And the guy took the money and never looked back. And I had a pretty good financial feel. I had pretty good stocks and so forth like that. But, yeah. So I lost a great deal of money with that advisor.
Okay.
Why am I telling you this story? You want someone that really cares, that's really going to do the best that they can for you. And they're going to tell you, let's say you're all set, you did the right thing and so forth, they're going to tell you, you know, if they're a good advisor, you're okay. You know, we like what you've done. You'll be comfortable the rest of your life. So that's the point. And my organization, we use state-of-the-art software to run the scenarios. They tell us where they want to be, what they would like to have for
okay.
their income forward and so forth. And then, you know, then the choice is theirs. We really want to fully inform the client on what their options are.
But let me interject, because as you were saying that, to what I was thinking is, and I think any of us who have ever followed or listened to Oprah in her earlier days or things, I'm sure she probably still says, you must keep or you must be aware of what your money is doing. You know, you can't put all your trust in an advisor, because an advisor is still a human, and they're not as attached to your money as you are. That's number one, my feelings of everything. And Oprah always says she writes all her checks, and she knew where her money was going. A sad story of an advisor, a personal friend of mine, had his advisor, he didn't keep up with his money, and the advisor had the opportunity to go in and out of his account, and he really
wow.
stole a lot of his money. So if you don't know anything, and you don't, if you two things, get an advisor. first thing, know what the advisor is telling you. Read and understand what they are saying, and it's okay to question, and it's okay to not want to do what they want you to do, I would think. But you have to be informed, and you have to educate yourself.
Right. First of all, that sounds like a brokerage type house. So we're not a brokerage type house. So
okay.
your money is protected. Once we decide on the best route or avenue for you, so
okay.
It wouldn't be that type of scenario at all. But I understand that because I was in that scenario too. So we're concerned about the safety of your principal. We're concerned about growth. The vehicles we offer you protection from lawsuits, creditors, and probate. And we want you to have a steady income so that you know what is coming in each month from your it's not an investment, but from your, I want to say investment, but for you putting money into our particular vehicle that we chose specifically for you.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you gave us the definition or clarification on both of those scenarios because, once again, you don't know what you don't know. And that is something that's very important. And I really think that going and making an appointment with someone to be advised and reading books is such a challenge during this time because of the pandemic. People are worried about losing their jobs. And so I would think, I don't know how the industry has been because of that, and you can tell us about that. But at this point, people are trying to survive, and it's harder to try to save a nickel when you need that nickel to put some food on your table. So I would think during times like this, it's kind of a challenge for people to even say, I'm going to go see how I can do anything with my money when you don't even know if you're going to have a job next month.
That's so valid, Casey. It really is. However, we do, as we talked about, want to plan for the future. So if you even particularly for young people, if they put a small amount aside, as I said, when I look at the projection and see that we're talking about cash accumulation down the road of maybe a couple of million dollars for your retirement, it's amazing. But on the other hand, procrastination is the number one form of self-sabotage. We say, okay, well, I'll do it closer to retirement, or I'll do it later, and so on and so forth. And then before you know it, you look up, and you don't have the comfortability that you should have had you planned better.
Yes, and I think that's probably more of a scenario than not, because that's exactly right. My father used to, and he was, to me, a smart man. My first job was babysitting, like most of us, I think. And he would make me give him half of whatever I made. Now, if you're only making $5, and we're talking many, many years ago, if you're making $5, you sure don't want to give him $250. But what he would do with that, and you didn't know, he would put it in a bank account. So he was saving. He was making us save. He made me save half of what I was making. Now, I grumbled and was upset about it, but the point of it is later on when it came time to needing a car, I was able to buy my own car because he had saved the money. But I didn't know that, and I remember trying to introduce that to some people because I thought that was really smart. For your children, they may not want to save, but charge them room and board. Put it in an account. They don't have to know you're saving it for them. But when the time comes that they need to go to college, want to go to college, save for something, you can go into that account, and they can pay for it themselves, unbeknownst to them that they were saving that money. So he was my financial advisor way back then, and I thought I appreciate all the lessons that I learned from him that I didn't even know. I was just grumbling off of living off of $2.50 or whatever the case would be. But how smart of him to do that.
Oh, that was amazing. oh, you were really, really lucky. And that is, you know, the story we go back to originally. What about those that are, you know, in their 20s? They should start. I wish I hadn't bought all the things that I bought. I'm looking at them, collecting dust now. So,
I know.
Yeah, early. Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful story. And, you know, I hope it served you well going forward. But we all know that CDs are the bank. It's not paying anything now. I mean, we're going to go into negative interest rates here if they keep on the Feds. So, spoil off some of that loose change if you're young, and put it aside to put it in a vehicle that will grow for you, and grow steady and grow guaranteed, as opposed to, you know, taking some risks when you earn bigger money and so forth, you can afford to take some risks. But meanwhile, one should be thinking about retirement or the future.
But now, guaranteed is a word that I would think is one that you have to be careful how you and when you use it, because obviously there is no guarantee because of the different situation. And so with that being said, I'd like to say how I'm sure there are people that go, I'll just rather keep my money at home. And, you know, we've heard of the stories where you lift the mattress up and your old aunt has $1 million stuffed in the mattress. And you're not drawing the interest, which we understand. But then again, we don't even know how much in the future or even for today, how much your money or how much interest your money will possibly be able to draw. That's kind of a tricky question. But what are some of the ways or what are some of the suggestions that your company, I know it's all about what you can afford to do, but what are some of the things that are more of a guarantee than not?
Right. So when you said about under the mattress, I thought of Aretha Franklin.
Why? Did she have a bunch of money under her mattress?
Uh-huh, she did. And they're still kind of in probate about it, and she didn't have a will.
Yeah. Oh my!
So this is about lack of planning once again, and there are vehicles out there that we would kind of share with the client, depending on where they want to go. That the funds are guaranteed from companies that have been around almost 200 years. They have A+ ratings. They're not going anywhere. If you look around, you'll see those type of companies, not necessarily the banks, but those type of companies that have the biggest buildings, and they're solid. So I feel comfortable saying guaranteed because that's what this is about. You want guaranteed income, and some of the vehicles have growth, and so you know your percentage. We present to you what the percentages are going forward. And we know that compound interest is a beautiful thing. So your money will grow as well.
Okay. And then there are certain, I would think, certain things that you could propose to people where if you do need, it's like that savings account that has the highest interest rate, so that if you are 22, let's say, just as a projection, and let's say that you are trying to buy a car, you're starting a new job, and let's say by 27 you would like to buy a car, then there are certain things that you could cash in to put down a down payment, rent a car, not rent, but maybe you might be leasing. Maybe you want to buy a secondhand rather than a new. So these are different things that gives you an option, because that's what this is all about, having options.
That's so wonderful that you brought that up, because there is a vehicle, we call it, and this is interesting because Buffett, Disney, Rockefellers, they use this strategy where you are in a particular vehicle instrument product that is doing cash accumulation and where you can borrow your own money. You loan yourself that money, and the interest, you know, you pay it back or you don't, so to speak, because it will come out of your cash accumulation. So there are instruments where you can buy house, car. so forth like that. So it's all about, I guess I want to use this word now, discipline, whether go back to procrastination. It is time for all of us to really think about finances. As I said, we're not financially literate so much. So it's time to really think about that. How are we going to do our finances well, protect our income going forward? And so we'd like for you to, you know, come to us and let us look at your picture, what you want to do, and see what we can work out for you that would be the best scenario.
And with that interjection, would you give the name of your company? And we're going to ask more questions because I do have a few more things I would like to. But let's take a pause for a second and give us the name of your company and how people can contact you to make an appointment. Because hopefully we have reached someone that's sitting there saying, I don't really know. But don't be embarrassed. Come in and ask all the questions you need to do or to ask.
And if I don't know the answer, I will get back to you. But at any rate, so my name is Jan McCarter, and I would just like for you to reach out to me at my email at jan.mccarter, that's jan.mccarter@gmail.com. And my number, my telephone number is 877-366-0070. So once again, that's 877-366-0070. So those people that reach out to me have an interest, I would like to send you a free book. It's a bestseller. It's fun. It's insightful. And it's a book that even a fifth grader can understand. So it's called How Money Works. And the alternate title is Stop Being a Sucker. So therefore, if you contact me and ask for that book, I'll be happy to send it to you free.
I love that, and I'm going to post that on the website. I will also post your information once again. I think those are two great incentives. Number one, for them to receive the book before they come in, because at that point, it's like when I was going to buy my condo, and I was blessed. I didn't know what this rent, the interest rate, I didn't know any of the terminology, and that's what I said to the woman. I just picked it out of the newspaper and agency, and I said, listen, I don't even know the intelligent verbiage to be able to ask intelligent questions to get me from point A to point B. And she was heaven sent. Her name was Miss Love, and she said she loved Delta Airlines. And she said, you don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know, and I will help you. And so, therefore, I had such a wonderful experience in buying a condo. I never understood when people would say they were depressed. They went through it was the happiest experience I ever had, and it was seamless because someone took me under their wing. But I said all that to say, you're sending them a book to read, to educate themselves and give them some insight, and to be able to come to you and ask some intelligent or insightful, I won't say intelligent, insightful questions so they can understand what they should do. I love it. I think that's a great gift that you're offering.
It's a great book, and it's really simplistic. And, you know, you won't get bogged down in terminology and finances can be very complex. So you won't get bogged down in that. It's a step-by-step, simplistic process for you to understand all that you need to know, really, to go forward.
Okay, so now I'm going to interject another question. So we've gone from the 22, we've gone from forced retirement. Is there, or should people who have retired, who are already set with their fixed income, and they've really basically kind of done what the productive years of finance, because a lot of senior citizens will go out and get a part-time job, and it keeps you busy, it keeps your mind alert, so it's always a good thing to do. But is there a point that we should never come see a financial advisor? Should we all just get comfortable into your fixed income, and if it works, stay where you are? Or is there still a need for senior citizens to come to an advisor?
That's an excellent question. If you're really comfortable with where you are and feel that you have enough finances, whatever vehicles you're in, to never run out of money, and that you've planned for some existential, you know, something that happens that is a surprise, then no, maybe not. Maybe you've done an excellent job on your own financial picture.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you are in low interest vehicles, CDs, and so forth like that, that's a time to think about maybe moving your money
okay.
to something that has growth
okay.
and is guaranteed and steady.
Okay, so review. Possibly it could be a review. A person could say, I think I've done well. I mean, I'm doing okay. But it doesn't hurt to come in and have a review.
That's true. That's absolutely
okay.
true.
Okay. Well, I think that's encouraging, because I think for people who have made some mistakes, and as you said, you know, one of the things that you said about flying here and there is we love to shop. And I'm like you, I wish I could take some of these clothes that I bought and sold because I was looking cute. But, boy, if I could turn – but I guess we can. We could go on eBay, so you can always generate some more money, you know, dust off those artifacts and put them on eBay. But
I got to do that then. Thanks for that suggestion. For a minute. I brought back so much stuff from Seoul that I literally broke my closet. The thing broke. We had a girlfriend and I, we had purchased these trunks. Literally, we could have had a person in these trunks.
Yes.
We went through London. They said, keep rolling. And then we came, you know how tough they are in London. And then we came through Chicago. They were like, we don't want to see, just keep going.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, yes, indeed. Well, you know, the bags that you got in Seoul were called grow bags. That's what we called them. And, you know, they were flat, and then they had zippers and zippers and zippers. And the more you bought, you just unzipped another zipper, and it grew a little lot taller. Those were the good old days. But, you know, you can't look back. And I hope I'm reaching to someone to say, because you and I are reminiscing on the good days. And, yes, we've made mistakes. I feel that I could have done a better job of preparing for my retirement, as you have said too, but you didn't know, and we didn't know. But you still have to enjoy where you are, but you still have to remember that, God willing, you're not going to – you will live a long life, and it's about you being able to maintain. And for me, maintaining, getting my nails done, that's a part of me. I've done it all my life. And if someone told me, well, Ms. Grant, you no longer can afford to get your nails done, I would feel that I had lost part of my personality, my lifestyle that I've established. And it may be as simple as that, or it may be just as simple as going out to dinner. You still have to be able to figure those things into your budget.
Absolutely. You're absolutely correct. So, and have those funds available, you know, going forward. Yeah, so that's the important thing. And I don't think it's ever too late to take, as you mentioned about the review, to really take a look at your finances, where you are, and see if a financial advisor, hopefully us, can look and see if there's something else better that you can. Financial market is changing so dramatically and so fast, and there's a lot of competition out there now. So that's
okay.
why I mentioned the state of the art. Our programs are right on the marketplace. We're right there. And so we can look and see who's offering the best financial vehicles at the moment. Because
okay.
you may be in something that's no longer – it's out of date, frankly.
Okay.
So let's see if we can, you know, change to something better.
Okay. Well, I think that's insightful. I think it gives everyone encouragement, because it's like anything else, you always can improve. And, you know, just because you've been doing the same thing the same way, it doesn't mean it's going to be the best way. And there's so many things that happen. My advice to people, and I lived it, that's why I can say it, the way you retire may not be the way you end up 5 years, because you start off, when we first left, I had money coming from here, I had so many sources of income, and this and that and the other, and things happen in life. You get married, you get divorced. You get sick, you have to pay. So you have to have, that's like being a tennis player. You've got to be able to hit the ball from this end to that end and still recover. So with that, I love that we ended the interview, because we're going to bring it to a close. But I also make sure there's nothing else that you want to say. But it is about take a review. Just take a refresher course. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt to go in and say, Janice, send me that book. I want to see if I think I know everything that I should know.
Yes, and in addition to that, I guess I'll close with saying this. So many of us get comfortable with who we're with, maybe TV, whatever it was, and Ameriprise, I was with them too. And we get comfortable with the person that we're working with. It's like, oh, they know us and so forth.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you are in the best options for you. So It wouldn't hurt, no obligation, so to speak, it wouldn't hurt to allow us to take a look at your financial position to see what else is available. So just information, you know, information is growing. You know, you want to keep growing. So that would be my closing, so to speak, is let's look at where we are and what's out there.
I love that. I love it. I think it's encouraging. I think you've given us good advice from the 22 to the 60 to the 70, because as you were talking, I was saying, well, maybe I'm going to make an appointment and say, look, I've got $5 that I don't spend every month. Can you put this someplace and turn my $5 into 10 every month? You never know. You might be able to find some stocks and bonds or something that is, and of course, you know, I'm using low figures, but the fact is a review, everyone. And I encourage you to contact Janice. I've enjoyed this conversation, and I kind of don't feel badly about some of the things I have done, and then I go, ooh, wish I had known that. But that's what life is all about. So would you like to state your information, please, one more time before we go, so that my audience can get in contact with you, and hopefully they will.
Right. So, Casey, I want to say we're not a brokerage house. We don't sell literally stocks or bonds, or, you know, we don't set you up with that. You know, I would talk to someone who called me or whatever about what we, you know, what we actually offer. And the other thing is, I'm trying to remember just now, but that's okay. It'll come back to me later when we're talking.
Well, we just, it'll come back to you. But give me the audience your information once again, and then it'll come back to you.
Right. So it's jan.mccarter, that's J-A-N, I like it, Nancy, period, C-A-R-T-E-R, at gmail.com. And you can reach me at 877-366-0070. And now it came back to me. During the COVID time, we are doing Zooms or you know, something, virtual meetings. So, you know, I'm not coming to your house. You're not coming to my office. So we're doing virtual meetings, which go very well.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because that's very, you know, someone might have been a little apprehensive about that. So I love that. So once again, I'm reaching out. I want to thank you so much for this interview, though, because it was very informative, and I love to be able to give my audience, you never know, it could be aviation, it could be finance, it could be how are you handling this pandemic. So I like to be as diverse, and I think this is something that was so well needed, and I'm so glad that you were available to come on the Fly Girl Show.
Thank you so much, Casey. This has been fun. I had fun talking to you, and I hope people got something out of it. And thank you again for doing your podcast. They're so informative.
Oh, thank you so much. And so with that, I'm going to say I really enjoyed it. And in closing, I'm going to invite you all once again to join me. I am on Wednesdays. That is my regularly scheduled time. It's on Wednesdays at 11. But as I have said to you every time, if I have something that I think you need to know, I'm going to schedule a show. So at that point, please tune in. Check out my website. Make sure you see what else I'm going to have or what person I will be interviewing. And I will sign off for today. Enjoy your day. And remember, all of this pandemic, all the things that we see are negative, they will turn into a positive. So with that, have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again on the Fly Girl Show.